We are going to be beginning a series here going through the book of Romans, and we are going to be starting here in Romans chapter 1, dealing with a call to the gospel, a call to be saints, and a call to work in the kingdom of God, and that is coming at you this morning. Good morning and welcome to God's Resistance, where we resist sin, self, the devil, and the world. Glad you've tuned in with us. We are going here through the book of Romans, and we will get through as much as we can get through in a 15-minute segment and just keep tooling along as we move through this book. I do want to say, if you want a more robust experience going through the book of Romans, I would urge you to come to the Abide Coffee Shop in downtown Wilkes-Barre at 6:30 p.m. on Thursdays. And we have a Bible study there, and it starts at 6:30, and we're there even after it closes. It closes at 7, and we're there afterwards. And there has been a good group of people there and discussion going back and forth as we are looking into the book of Romans and trying to apply this book to our lives. So it is far richer when you're around others that are asking some questions. It helps you to think through some things. But here, you know, we can only do it in a certain format for the 15-minute time frame that we have. And so we're going to be looking here at Romans chapter 1, and I start in the beginning by saying the call of the gospel, a call to be saints, and a call to spread the gospel. That's kind of the section of scripture that we're dealing with. We're going to hopefully go through verses 1 through 17 here this morning, and that will be as much time as we have allotted. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. So here we have Paul. His idea was that he was a servant of God's. He wasn't his own anymore. He had been bought with the precious blood of Christ. And if you're familiar with the Bible account, then Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Jesus appeared to him on the Damascus Road and said, Paul, I have a work for you. That was his calling. But he saw himself as a servant, as a love slave to Jesus Christ. And beside all that, Jesus made it very specific to Paul. You will be an apostle. An apostle is literally a messenger. And so we see through the life of Paul, he was a messenger specifically to the Gentiles, though he did speak with the Jews. Jesus said that he had a call to be going around and spreading the gospel to the Gentiles. And he said that he was separated unto the gospel of God. This is something important for us to realize in our day. People, we oftentimes just kind of want to hold the control or the reins of our lives in such a way. But when we give our lives over to Jesus Christ, we are separated for certain purposes. And Paul said he was separated unto the gospel of God. There's another place where he says, if you're in a military, you push away your civilian concerns in order that you may please the person who is over you in the military so that you can do your job right. And this is kind of the idea. Paul was separated unto the gospel of God. He had put all other things aside, and the gospel was his life, was his call, was his mission. That's who he was. And each one of us has a call in God's kingdom in some way, shape, or form. Now, you may not be in specific Christian ministry. You may not be a missionary, pastor, evangelist, those kind of things. But we all have a vocation. We all have a sacred calling from God, and we work in God's kingdom in such a way to be a witness to the gospel, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we need to realize, what, Lord, is your call for me? Paul's was, he was an apostle. And he said he was separated unto the gospel of God, the good news of God. And then in parentheses in verse 2, it says, which he had promised afore, before, by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So he's helping these people to understand, when we look in Rome, it was a place that, you know, there were so many different religions or belief systems there. So long as you didn't go against the Roman government and you didn't cause problems there, we don't really care what you believe. And so he was trying to help people to understand, this isn't just another teaching amongst teachings. This is an ancient prophesied way that we're following. This has been talked about since the beginning, and it has now been revealed. And so this is where we are. This is what God has promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. In other words, we have a super solid foundation. This is something that, you know, you could verify yourself. It's kind of the idea he's trying to speak to this pagan world. I do want to say, as we get going here, that there was a problem here in Rome. where the Jews were known as somewhat of insurrectionists, which they were. They caused a lot of wars. There were a lot of factions amongst the Jews, and they hated the Romans. And so Claudius, the emperor, he decreed that the Jews were to leave Rome, which they did. And at that point, Rome was left with Gentile Christians. After Claudius, I can't remember if it was he passed away. I believe it was. Let's say after he passed away, and if I'm wrong, you can correct me on that. After he passed away, the Jews came back into Rome. And so we find a little bit of trouble here in the book of Romans. We find Gentiles that had been walking in their newfound Christian faith for a while, thinking that they understood how all things were to work. Then we find the Jews being reintroduced back into Rome. Some of them were already believing Jews. And there's a problem there where they're butting heads now. No, you need to do it like this. No, the Gentiles are dirty. No, the Jews, you need salvation. And so there's a tension between Gentile and Jew that goes through the book of Romans. And this book of Romans is helping, Paul is helping everyone to see all need the Savior. Here's how you get saved. Here is how to live a holy life. And this is the plan of God for you to live this Christian life out. And even some prophetical things that are uttered towards the end of this book. So that helps us to understand a little bit of the tensions that are going on here in the book of Romans, gives us some context to understand what's happening. He said, concerning in verse 3, his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. This is very important to the Jewish listener. He was made according to the seed of David, according to the flesh. They took very much stock in genealogies and all, and rightfully so, because the promise of the Messiah was told to be come through a certain line of people and through the line of Judah and all. We find that throughout prophets in the Old Testament. And so he's trying to help them to understand this Jesus did fulfill those prophecies. He came, he is the seed of David according to the flesh. Like, you can follow his lineage. He came from David. And he was declared, that is Jesus, to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. In other words, this man, Jesus, he didn't just rise up like some of these others that we find in the Gospels, where there was some reference by Gamaliel, a man that rose up and had a following after him. And he said, well, if he's like that, then just leave him alone. It'll all fall apart. But if this is of God, then we better not be found fighting against God. And he was talking about Jesus. So Paul here is saying, Jesus is not just one of those kind of fanatic people that sprung up in the desert that then said, follow me, and people followed. He was declared to be the Son of God with power. How? What was the display of the power? Well, that he died on the cross and he rose again from the dead and was seen by 500 brethren at once. We also find in the end of Matthew that there were the bodies of Abraham, Isaac, you know, some of the old patriarchs rose up and were walking through the streets of Jerusalem, and people had seen them. There was a miraculous something that happened. And he said, Jesus is declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. He was resurrected from the dead. No one else was resurrected from the dead. And he says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, we've received grace from him and apostleship. So the apostleship is the calling, go and spread the gospel to all the world. And we've received grace to do that. And what does that look like? He said that grace would enable him to be obedient to the faith among all nations for what? For Jesus' name's sake, to recommend the gospel to the nations. And I want to say, Paul is saying this here, obviously, but this is no different to any Christian. We've received grace in order to be obedient to the faith among all nations. And that means where you're living right now. God gives you grace to be obedient to the faith amongst your coworkers, amongst your sphere of influence, amongst the people you meet in the grocery store. You are obedient to the faith through the power of Jesus Christ and through his grace, and you do have a specific calling in his kingdom in some way, shape, or form. And we need to get that revived in our minds again. We are an obedient, loving, obedient people to God now because he's changed our hearts. We are different than the world around us. We're not swallowed up in it. And so we are salt and light in the world. He said, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? So he starts by saying, I'm called. I'm not just some crazy guy that's going to come talk to you in Rome and asking you to do all these things. I'm called by Jesus himself. And he said, you also are called. And he said, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you in peace from God our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying there's the call of God going out to all. And there's some of you there in Rome that have believed, that are the ones walking after God. He said, grace and peace be to you also. First, he says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. That's something. So he had heard about the faith of these Christians that were in Rome, and it had spread far and wide that there were a different group of people, these Christians there, and Paul had heard about it. Dear listener, what is your life like? Is your faith being spoken of abroad in the world around you, in the workplace around you? They know that you're a Christian because of the way that you live. He said their faith was spoken of throughout the entire world. He says, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. As of this time, Paul had not yet gone to Rome. He did know a lot of people that were there in Rome. You can find that in the end of the book of Romans. He says, greet, and then he lists off a bunch of people. So he knows some people there, but he's never actually been there. And he said, I pray for you all the time. I pray for you. God is my witness. I pray for you all the time. And I'm asking God that I might have a prosperous journey to come to you. I want to come to you. So he's kind of prepping them, telling them that he's going to see them at some point soon, and he wants to see them. So here we find him telling them that in this letter. And what an awesome thought. Paul's heart for the gospel was so large. He was praying about these people whom he had never met, because his interest was not just for himself and his ministry. His interest was that the gospel would be spread throughout all the known places of the world. And so he's been praying for these Romans, and essentially he's been praying for these Romans too, because he knows if the gospel can take hold in Rome, and Rome was the superpower of the world, what effect could the gospel have on all the other places throughout the Roman Empire and throughout the world? It would spread even further. So he had his eye on Rome. He said, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. So he's saying, I want to come to you. I want to bless you with spiritual gifts that God has given to me. It's a mutual comfort when we talk to one another about this faith. We shore one another up in this faith. I want to come to you, and I want to comfort you with our mutual faith. We're both going to be strengthened and blessed by my coming to you. He said, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come into you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. So he's like, I wanted to come earlier, but I wasn't, there was things that got in my way and I couldn't get to you, and I'm having fruit among many other Gentiles, and I desire to have that same fruit among you. That is the fruit of the gospel spreading in this area. But he said, I just want to let you know, you haven't been left out. I've had you on my mind for a long time, but God hasn't let me come to you yet. And he said, I'm a debtor, both to the Greeks, that's the super wise people, and to the barbarians, those are the dummies, both to the wise and to the unwise, he said. So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you at Rome also. The place where wisdom and civilization is at its highest, he said, I'm not afraid of the gospel even there. I need to go to you there. Whether you're a barbarian or whether you're a philosophical Greek, you need to hear this gospel. And he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So he wasn't ashamed to go right into Rome, where they had all sorts of different kinds of beliefs, to bring the gospel into the center of Rome and to let it bear the scrutiny of those people. He was not ashamed of it. He knew that gospel could crack open the hearts of hardened sinners and could change an entire empire. He said, I am not ashamed of this gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. And he said, it's to anybody who believes. There's nobody that's left out. It's not just for the Jews. It's for the Greek. It's for the barbarian. And he says, why? Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, what does that mean? That the righteousness of God is revealed from those that believe to the faith of those that are yet to be that are yet to believe. So it's revealed from faith to faith. He's saying the just will live by faith. That's what I'm doing. My faith is going to be passed on to you. It's going to be revealed from faith to faith to faith. And that's why I'm coming to you here in Rome. Dear listener, you have a call. You have a call. God has called you to be a saint. He's called you to the gospel, and he's called you to spread the gospel in whatever part of the kingdom he has placed you. Your next step is to call 570-362-7782. I'd love to talk with you on the phone. I'd love to get a coffee with you. Every Thursday at 5:30 p.m., we have a street meeting in the downtown public square of Wilkes-Barre. We also have a street meeting at 4 p.m. on Sundays. But after the Thursday street meeting at 6:30, we have a Bible study in the Abide Coffee Shop, and you are invited, and we hope to see you there.